Thursday, July 19th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, President Donald Trump says he looks forward to another summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin. We get reaction to this week's Helsinki summit.
The summit is still clouded in mystery in terms of what was its concrete results.
President Trump calls on Turkey's president to release an American pastor who's been in prison for 2 years on terrorism charges. And former Beatle Paul McCartney has a new single. It's all ahead. President Donald Trump is indicating there could be a second summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Trump, writing on Twitter, called Monday's summit in Helsinki a great success, except with the real enemy of the people, the fake news media. In another Thursday morning tweet, the U.S. president accused mainstream media in the country of desiring so badly to see a major confrontation with Russia, even a confrontation that could lead to war. Trump was widely condemned by U.S. political figures, his Republican colleagues, and opposition Democrats alike for his performance at Monday's Helsinki news conference alongside Putin. There, Trump sided with the Russian president's denial that Moscow meddled in the 2016 election to try to help Trump win. Trump's position conflicted with the U.S. intelligence community's conclusion that Russia had interfered in the election. Meanwhile, Putin is blaming political forces within the United States for attempting to undermine his summit with his American counterpart. William Pomerantz is the deputy director of the Kennan Institute at the Washington-based Wilson Center. He spoke with me about the events this week in U.S.-Russia relations.
There's a dispute over a lot of different issues. Some of them are grammatical. The questions of negatives and double negatives have suddenly risen to the fore in terms of U.S.-Russian relations. So it is unclear what was discussed. President Putin has suggested that there were certain agreements that emerged from the summit, yet the State Department and President Trump have not articulated them. So the summit is still clouded in mystery in terms of what was its concrete results.
Also, there certainly has been a lot of controversy over President Trump's original statement, you know, on Monday, saying that he sides with President Putin regarding that there was no interference. And then he seemed to, you know, he walked that back. And then meanwhile, there are a number of people, Republicans and even members, I think, of the Trump administration who said that it is beyond dispute that Russia did interfere in the U.S. election in 2016.
President Trump has not articulated a firm line as to how he views the question of meddling by Russia in the U.S. elections. And he's been all over the map in terms of his statements. As you mentioned, he's had to walk back statements. He's had to explain statements and re-explain them. And so, yes, it's unclear what was agreed upon and really what Donald Trump thinks was agreed upon at that meeting. There's no transcript. There's no joint statement. All we have is the press conference, and the press conference really didn't articulate a firm plan going forward.
Apparently, there is going to be some attempt, or at least some members of Congress think that the translator for President Trump should be subpoenaed to explain what happened. Is that likely?
There's no precedent for issuing a subpoena for the translator. And I should emphasize that being a translator, you're focused simply on making the statements, not necessarily on the content of the discussions. To be a simultaneous translator is a very difficult job, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're in a position to remember the specific details of the conversation. But I do not anticipate that the translator will be called into this meeting, especially because the intent of the meeting was to be an off-the-record conversation.
Has there been any time in recent history where a U.S. president has been in a situation like this with a leader of Russia?
There are no immediate parallels of a U.S. leader who has been so deferential to a Russian leader and has gone out of his way to be deferential to the Russian leader and at the same time be overtly confrontational with our traditional allies. So I do think we are in a unique period, and we still have to wait and see what the consequences will be.
Also during this time, Trump has been very critical of the news media. He calls it the fake news media. This also seems to be a somewhat unique situation.
Well, he refers to the fake news media, but of course the problems that resulted from this meeting all resulted from the fact that some journalists had a chance to ask both leaders direct questions. And especially in President Trump's circumstance, he wasn't able to give a strong, articulate response to those questions. And his inability to respond to those questions and to identify what was U.S. policy, to clarify how he held Vladimir Putin accountable for the actions in the 2016 presidential election. The fact that he could not articulate these answers at the press conference has been the reason why this story is continuing.
William Pomerantz, the deputy director of the Kennan Institute at the Wilson Center. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. The Taliban says it has no plans to stop suicide attacks in Afghan cities. The Department of Homeland Security will decide legal protections for 500 Somalis here in the United States. The European Union is preparing to strike back if President Trump slaps tariffs on foreign cars, and Turkey ends its state of emergency. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers have detected swirls of diamonds hundreds of thousands of times smaller than a grain of sand in the protoplanetary disks of three baby star systems in the Milky Way. After conducting a series of observations with the U.S. National Science Foundation's Green Bank Telescope in West Virginia and the Australia Telescope Compact Array in New South Wales, the astronomers identified these so-called nanodiamonds as the source of a faint and mysterious microwave glow that has baffled scientists for nearly 20 years. Called anomalous microwave emissions, the odd glow has been spotted in regions throughout the galaxy. The astronomers also found that infrared light coming from these three systems contained the distinctive signature of nanodiamonds. Scientists think the tiny diamonds were probably formed from the superheated vapor of carbon atoms. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, the scope of presidential power is the key issue in the upcoming confirmation fight at the Supreme Court. As Turkey ended its two-year state of emergency Thursday that followed the 2016 failed coup, a Turkish court held a third hearing in the case of American Protestant minister Andrew Brunson. He's been in prison for 2 years on terrorism and espionage charges related to the attempted coup. Brunson, who has lived in Turkey 20 years, denied any wrongdoing. His next court date is scheduled for October 12th. Late Wednesday, in a tweet, President Donald Trump called on his Turkish counterpart, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, to release Brunson, saying he's been held hostage far too long. Turkey's been seeking the extradition of exiled Muslim cleric Fethullah Gulen. Ankara accuses him of orchestrating the coup attempt. Cece Heil is executive senior counsel of the Nashville-based American Center for Law and Justice, which has been handling the Brunson case. She tells International Edition's Victor Beatty, since his arrest in October 2016, Turkey has failed to offer any concrete evidence to suggest guilt.
So when this trial process began on April 16th with the first trial date, and then May 7th with the second trial date, and now July 18th for the third trial date, we have seen what we've expected all along, that this is a sham trial. There is no evidence. We have secret witnesses that have been discredited. Not one of the witnesses has been able to provide one shred of evidence. And basically, Pastor Brunson has effectively been denied the ability to even put on a defense. However, saying that, there was indication that this might be the court date where Pastor Brunson is released. Even the Turkish news was reporting that diplomats in Ankara expected Pastor Brunson to be released at this trial date.
They keep bringing up these so-called anonymous witnesses. Why are they doing that, do you think?
because that totally strips Pastor Brunson the ability to discredit these witnesses, really, because his Turkish attorney is not able to know their identity. So there's no way to attack what they're saying because they're not allowed to know who it is. The judges, it's made up of three on the panel, they have made it very clear that they are taking everything that the prosecution's witnesses are saying as absolute truth. And when they've been challenged on that, well, don't they have to provide evidence? They said, nope, they are under oath and we are taking everything they say as truth.
As you indicated, he's been in jail since 2016. This hearing now is not for another 3 months. You're suggesting that perhaps he may be released at the time. Why the delay?
Political trials in Turkey typically take anywhere from 2 to 10 years. And this is the way the Turkish courts work. You'll have, as we've seen, the first trial date, just one day on April 16th. Then they adjourn. And that time it was till May 7th, so about a month later. And then they adjourn to July 18th, which was about 2 months later. And now they're adjourning to October, which is 3 months later. And it's just a way to continue to drag these cases out.
Is he really a pawn in this larger issue about the extradition of the Muslim cleric Fethullah Gulen, who the Turkish government believes was the mastermind of this failed coup? Is this all linked?
It certainly seems so, because President Erdogan himself has demanded on multiple occasions the swap of Fethullah Gulen, who has lived in Pennsylvania since the late 1990s, and the cleric that he blames for the failed coup attempt, for Pastor Brunson. And so it looks like, especially now that we know absolutely, which we've known along, there is no case against him, there is no evidence, it looks pretty clear that he's being held as a political hostage.
Cece Heil of the American Center for Law and Justice. President Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Judge Brett Kavanaugh, can expect a range of tough questions when he faces a Senate confirmation hearing in the coming weeks. One area where Kavanaugh is likely to be pressed is on his view of the scope of presidential power, which he believes is quite broad. It's an area opposition Democrats are expected to highlight in connection with the ongoing Russia probe. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more from Washington.
Tonight, it is my honor and privilege to announce that I will nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court.
When he was nominated by President Trump, Judge Kavanaugh pledged to bring an independent mindset to the Supreme Court.
I believe that an independent judiciary is the crown jewel of our constitutional republic. If confirmed by the Senate, I will keep an open mind in every case, and I will always strive to preserve the Constitution of the United States and the American rule of law.
Yet Democrats have vowed to fight Kavanaugh's nomination, fearing his conservative views could swing the Supreme Court sharply to the right for a generation.
Mr. President, I am honored to have served you and the presidency for the last 5.5 years.
In particular, Democrats have expressed concern about Kavanaugh's expansive view of presidential power, which was informed by his work for President George W. Bush. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer.
Not only did Mr. Kavanaugh say that a president should not be subpoenaed, he said a president shouldn't be investigated. Mr. Kavanaugh, is the president above the law?
Kavanaugh has written that presidents should not be distracted by civil or criminal investigations. In short, Kavanaugh has a broad view on the scope of presidential power, says legal expert Jonathan Turley.
Kavanaugh's natural default position is Article 2 in presidential power. He tends to defer greatly to presidents. That can only help President Trump if an issue goes before the court. But that's his philosophy. It doesn't mean he's biased.
Kavanaugh's view worries liberal activists like Drew Courtney.
Brett Kavanaugh has a very frighteningly wide view of presidential power. And I think that's something very much in play, given the investigations that are going on right now.
Kavanaugh will no doubt be pressed on the issue during his confirmation hearing, especially in light of the ongoing Russia probe, says legal analyst Kate Shaw.
So if, for example, the president chooses not to sit for a voluntary interview and special counsel Mueller tries to subpoena the president, there's an open legal question about whether you can subpoena a sitting president. And that could end up very quickly going before the Supreme Court if there's a legal fight over it.
Kavanaugh's Republican allies say they are prepared for a range of attacks on his record, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
That kind of cheap political fear-mongering insults the intelligence of the American people. Because Americans understand the difference between a political office and a judicial office.
Kavanaugh's confirmation requires a majority vote in the Senate, where Republicans hold a narrow 51 to 49 seat margin. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Need a little straight talk? Want to make sense of the world around you? Ask a question. Hear what others have to say? If so, Voice of America has a variety of talk shows for you. Lifestyle, health, politics, youth, sports. We have it all. Tune into our discussion shows on the radio, TV, or the internet. They examine a wide variety of issues and world events not always covered by other media. VOA.
This is International Edition. One of the former Beatles starred in a recent video about his Liverpool upbringing. That video included a snippet of his new single. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me with the latest.
Okay, Sarah, today we're going to be focusing on a new song and a new album and a new tour by one of your favorite artists, Sir Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney's got a new album, and it's coming out in September. The new album is called Egypt Station, and I lost count past 15 on how many albums the guy's put out, you know, on his own albums. Of course, he's also done with the Beatles, and it's amazing. His career, his body of work, it just continues to go on at a time when he turned 76 in June and then released two new songs right after his birthday. It's amazing. He's so hardworking. He doesn't have to work this hard because Forbes has stated over and over he's one of the richest people on the planet, certainly in the music business. He's at the top of the list, $1.2 billion in worth. And so he doesn't really have to work, but he does it because he loves the business and loves what he does, loves being Paul McCartney. So let's listen to a brand new song, one of the two brand new singles he's put out. This is called Come On To Me. It's Paul McCartney.
I saw you flash a smile that seemed to me to say you wanted so much more than casual conversation. I swear I caught a look before you turned away. Now I don't see the point resisting your temptation. Did you come on to me? Will I come on to you? If you come on to me...
Larry, I think this was one of the songs featured during that very popular video he did with James Corden when they were in Liverpool.
Recently. Yes, James Corden, who's been doing all these acting voices, was in Peter Rabbit recently. He's going to be in some other films as well. He also hosts the CBS Late Late Night Show. He has a segment called Carpool Karaoke, and he has all these artists on. He's had Adele on, Ed Sheeran, you name it, they've all been on. Well, Paul McCartney did it about 3 weeks ago, and it has so far totaled 27 million views on YouTube for the segment, which lasts a little over 20 minutes, in which Paul McCartney reveals so much about himself that we just didn't know before. And it's very popular for Paul McCartney fans, Beatles fans. He talks about, you know, the song She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. When he recorded it and practiced it in the house, his father said, "Why do you use slang? You should say yes." So Paul McCartney said, "I don't know, she loves you, yes, yes, yes." So he went with Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. He talks about the song Let It Be, how it was inspired by his mother. And so there was a lot of things that happened in that video. Very interesting. It's still available on YouTube for those that would like to see it. Paul McCartney has announced that he's going out on tour in September. I can't believe it that he's still working this hard, but he's got another tour. It starts up September 17th, and he starts his first show in Quebec. It's called the Freshen Up Tour. And Paul, on that segment of Carpool Karaoke, showing the signs of being 76, because he was like the world's oldest teenager. He never aged. But now he's got a little white hair coming through, and his voice on that segment started to show a little bit of age, shall we say.
Well, certainly, though, he's got, I think, continually youthful spirit.
Yes, yes. It's just what he's done, what he's accomplished over the years. A two-time inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, 18 Grammy Awards, and he's had 32 songs, 32 that reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 charts. That's amazing. Songs he's written, songs he's performed. And recently I just read where Phil Collins has said he'd like to do something with Paul McCartney for an upcoming box set of CDs that he's planning to release. So Paul McCartney will always be timeless, ageless, always be relevant. He writes music that is, you know, obviously continues to be appealing to all ages. And I love his stuff. I like the new song, Come On To Me. The other one, which is called I Don't Know, is more of a ballad than Come On To Me. But, the Beatles, they were the best at the time during the British invasion in the 60s and gave us so many number one songs. And his catalog of music is second to none.
All right. Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings. The music of Paul McCartney brings an end to our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Local crime prevention in the Kyrgyz Republic got a boost this month from the United States. On July 10th, First Deputy Minister of the Ministry of Internal Affairs, Suwan Omurzakov, and the Director of the Office of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement at the U.S. Embassy in Bishkek, Sandeep Paul, inaugurated the Local Crime Prevention Center, or LCPC, in Amir Timur, a neighborhood in Osh City, with a population of 52,000 facing issues of unemployment, domestic violence, drug addiction, forced early marriage, and youth involvement in radical and violent groups. The Amir Timur LCPC represents a true partnership with 64%, approximately $15,000 of the funding provided by the U.S. Embassy's Office of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs, 18%, approximately $4,500 by the Osh City Mayor's Office, 11%, approximately $2,600 by the Osh City Directorate on Employment, Migration and Youth, and the remaining 7%, almost $2,000 by the local community. In his opening remarks, First Deputy Minister Omurzakov noted that this center is perfectly prepared to coordinate between the offices of the district militiaman, the chairman of the Aksakal Court, the Department for Work with Youth and Women's Councils, which will improve services provided to our citizens. INL Director Paul said community policing principles, respect for human rights, accountability, transparency, and rule of law not only address but also help to prevent crimes in the areas of domestic violence and violence among youth, facilitate public discussion of safety and quality of life issues, and address the drivers of radicalization and violent extremism. Since 2013, the United States has directed approximately $4 million to support community policing and law enforcement reform at the national and grassroots level in the Kyrgyz Republic, supporting 24 communities and 23 local crime prevention centers, mainly in the south of the Kyrgyz Republic. The United States, said INL Director Paul, has partnered with Kyrgyz officials, international organizations, and civil society to promote community policing best practices because communities are strongest when they are working together and law enforcement works best when it has a close relationship with the community.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.